Come welcome.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We welcome everybody on to the Open Forum program tonight. This is the Q&A session of Bible Questions and Answers program that's sponsored by the Darien Luke Church of Christ out of Northeast Houston. We are at 7014 Darien Street, Houston, Texas, 77028. Yours truly, Brother Lewis Parker IV, serves as the local minister to that congregation. We also have online Brother L.C. Parker Jr. of the Darien Luke Church of Christ, Brother Williams and Brother Johnson of the Church of Christ there in Wharton, Texas. We have Brother Brown moderating. Also, we have Brother Horace Roberts, who's unable to call in tonight, but he's usually hosting on Thursday night. We're just glad for all of our audience members that's listening, and we just hope, trust, and pray that if you have Bible questions, call in with your Bible questions, and we'll give you Bible answers to your Bible questions. I'd like to take a moment and ask Brother Parker Jr. if you would lead us in a word of prayer.
Yes, our Father, which art in heaven, the creator, the maker of all mankind and all things, we come humbled before thy throne of grace, thanking you for another wonderful day that you granted unto us. Not that all of us have been so good, but your grace and your mercy have been exposed on us to embrace it with the love of Jesus and the obedience of the doctrine of Christ. Be with us, Father, this evening, and let some points be brought out that everybody can embrace. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen.
On Tuesday nights, Brother Parker Jr. is the host of the program, and at that time we have experienced seasoned gospel preachers in the persons of Brother Parker Jr., Brother Johnson, and Brother Williams, who bring Bible messages on Tuesday nights from 7:30 to 8:30. It's a wonderful time to tune in. And on Thursday nights, we have the Bible Q&A of the Bible Question, Basic Instruction for the First program. And I think that's a great opportunity, because what that program allows is for people in the audience, or anyone really, with Bible questions or Bible answers, to call in with questions. Call in and you get a Bible answer. And the thing about that, if you want to, you could remain anonymous. If you have a comment to make or a question to ask, just hit the number one, and our administrator, Brother Brian Brown, he'll get you through to us, and you can ask your question. Or if you don't want to come online and ask your question, you can always get with Brother Brown prior or after, and we could get questions asked. You could ask it ahead of time, and we could answer your questions. So it's a very good program, because there's a whole lot that's going on in the religious world that's really ultimately leading people astray. And that's why we feel it's important to have a program where people can just call in and ask any questions that they want. Because in some denominations, you're not able to question whatever the pastor says. That's what goes. And the pastor might even tell you, don't question me. I'm a man of God. I have the Spirit of God. So therefore, it's not for you to question. You just do what I say. And I think if any kind of preacher had that attitude, he should not be in a pulpit. Preachers should not mind being questioned, because truth has nothing to hide. So therefore, since we are ministers of the truth, we ask you to call in with your Bible questions. So that way we could give you Bible answers. And let me say this as well. We're not going to give you our opinion. I say to Darien Luke all the time, I'm not important enough to have my opinion when it comes to the Word of God. My opinion doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what thus says the Lord. So therefore, we're not going to you or waste your time giving you what we think about the Word of God. We're just going to tell you exactly what says the Word of the Lord. Do we have Brother Trey on the program tonight? Okay, well, if not, we'll turn it over into the hands of either Brother Parker Jr. or Brother Williams.
Brother Williams.
Yes, sir. In John 17:17, Jesus, while praying in the garden for his disciples and all of those who would believe on him through their word, he says, sanctify these by thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word
Amen.
Of God is the truth.
Amen.
The word of God gives us the truth. If you want to know what the truth is, you must consult the word of God.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen in Radio Land, when we are here tonight to answer and to give a response to any questions or inquiries that you might have concerning the truth. This is not a social media program to talk about any kind of social policies. It's not a political program. This is a spiritual program. And what we want to deal with is the truth. That is the word of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the truth. John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus says to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the eternal life that man is seeking, that man needs. I am the answer to man's problem. I am God who created you, who is saving you. I am God who died for you. The Bible says
Amen.
In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 that he is God who gave his blood to purchase the church. See, when the Spirit told Paul to speak to the elders, he said, take heed to yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
God, in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son, purchased the church with his shed blood. His shed blood represents the righteousness of God. And everybody, you know, what the world needs is the righteousness of God in their lives.
Amen.
We call it grace. Grace is God's unearned favor. None of us can deserve the death of Christ. None of us can deserve the sacrifice that he made. None of us are worthy of it. But God
Amen.
Gave. See, John 3 and 16, God loved man so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See,
Amen.
Believing in Christ, believeth means to believe and obey. Our belief or our faith is defined as believe and obey. If believing does not follow through or does not have the following of obedience, then it is a vain faith. It can't
Amen.
Save you. Jesus died to save us from our sins. And he is the only one. He is the only Savior of mankind. The
Amen.
Only Savior. He is the Lord God. There is only one Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. One Lord and God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. He is
Amen.
The Almighty God. Jesus said, all authority, all of the authority, all of the power of the Godhood is mine.
Amen.
I authorize you to go and preach the gospel. Listen, Jesus is who we worship. He's who we serve. He's who's saving us. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is our husband. If you are in Christ today, that is, you have been baptized into Christ for the removal of your sins. You have been added to the church of Christ, which he built and established, then you are a child of God, a servant of God, a citizen of the kingdom of God, and you are a member of the household of Christ, and you are also a member of the bride of Christ. Now, with all that being said, Jesus Christ, he is our everything. And anybody, all of you in Radio Land, even we as ministers, we must realize that Christ is the center of it all. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other. Any other what? Any other name. Any other authority. Any other power. There is salvation in none other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. Everyone who is saved must be saved by the power and the authority of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Lord is adding. He's saving folks daily, and he's adding them to the church. We have a lot of argument today about the church. We have too many philosophies that people are listening to and hearing throughout society about all these different churches that they see in what we call Christendom. Everybody claims that we are a church belonging to Christ. Christ owns all these churches. But ladies and gentlemen, let's be honest with the truth. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Amen.
All of these churches represent different religious systems. No one is ignorant or will deny the fact that Catholic believers are not Baptist believers. That Methodist religion is not Jehovah's Witness religion. That Presbyterian faith is not Episcopalian faith. That Mormon philosophy is not Seventh-day Adventist philosophy. Everyone will agree to that. But yet, they will also say in hypocrisy that all these churches belong to Christ. Let's let the Bible expose that lie again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to the church at Corinth, and he pleads with them. He says, brethren, I'm begging you, let us not have any religious divisions among us. Let us speak the same thing. Let us be of the same mind. Let us obey the same rules. Read that for yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, it is God's will that in religion we are to all be the same. We got to have the same mind and the same judgment. Brother Parker, I got to see it the same way you see it. Otherwise, we're not obeying or following or teaching the same. The same thing is the same thing. If what you believe is not the same as what I believe, what you teach will not be the same as what I teach. God does not promote, encourage, or endorse religious division.
Amen.
Nevertheless, man has decided that religious division is okay. It's not okay with God. God, in his word, does not condone religious division at all. So we can't say in all truth and honesty that all these different religious philosophies are God's religions. That's a lie, brethren. It's a blatant lie. It's the devil's lie. It's the doctrine of the devil. But there are billions of people in this world who believe it, who are influenced by it, who follow it, because they are teachers or ministers of Satan, and they're teaching them this.
Amen.
But the Bible talks about that. They're going to have their reward. Oh, it's not going to be salvation. It's certainly not going to be heaven. But they'll have their reward, because hell is reserved. Judgment in hell is reserved for those evildoers, for the false prophet, the liar, and the devil himself. And we got to warn people. You know, this program is to challenge you. Ask us the hard question. There are many people who really don't know what the true church of Christ is all about. And people are being dishonest. Again, they say they want to quote Shakespeare on you, Brother Parker the Fool. A rose by any other name will smell just as sweet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is not poetry. This is truth. This is not fiction. This is truth. The church by any name is not the church, because the church has a name. Some people say, well, I don't see where God ever named the church. Have you studied your Bible? The church has a name. First of all, she is the wife of Christ. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. You can't deny it. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told the church of Christ in Rome, not the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church did not exist. Some people have suggested that the book of Romans was written to the Roman Catholic Church. There was no Roman Catholic Church when the book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul in 64 A.D. The Roman Catholic Church did not have its beginnings until 325 A.D. after the Council of Nicene, and it did not have its formal founding until 606 A.D. That was almost 600 years after the book of Romans was written. So Paul did not write to the Roman Catholic Church. He wrote to the Church of Christ that was in the city of Rome. And he, in writing through the Holy Spirit, he told them. He said, brethren, the gospel is the power of God to save every man. And he says, in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Every generation of man is intended to receive the faith that comes from the gospel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing the word of God, the gospel. But many don't have that faith. They don't understand. In Romans chapter 7 and 4, Paul says, we have become dead to the law of sin and death, that we should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead. Honesty says Jesus Christ is the husband of the church. He's the husband of his church. As everyone already knows, where does the married wife get her formal name? From her husband. But you know what? We lie. We spill and spout hypocrisy, and we say, well, it don't matter what the name of the church is. That's an insult to the
faith.
It's an insult to any husband who heard that people considered his wife could be called by any other name or any name that they choose to do. That man would be insulted.
Amen.
My name is Brother Williams. I would be insulted if you considered or thought that it's all right to call my wife Mrs. Brown.
Amen.
She's not married to Mr. Brown. She's married to Mr. Williams. So
Amen.
Her name is Mrs. Williams. Christ's wife's
Amen.
Name is Mrs. Christ. She is the wife
Amen.
Of Christ. His church is his wife. She is the church of Christ. That's her name.
Amen.
There's no denying it. The Bible, and the Bible talks about, even from the Old Testament to the New, that every word of truth being established by the witness of two. See, God
Amen.
Has witnessed again in Ephesians
yes.
chapter 5, verse 23 through 25. Husbands, love your wife, even
Amen.
As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He says,
Amen.
That's in verse 25. In verse 23, he says, the husband is the head of the wife, just
Amen.
As Christ is the head of the church.
Amen.
You want to know what the true church, where salvation is? It's the church of Christ. By
Amen.
No other name, it is the church of Christ.
Amen.
As ministers of Christ, Brother Parker the Fourth, Brother Parker Jr., Brother Leroy Williams, Brother James Johnson, Brother Brown, and every gospel preacher has
Amen.
No problem to stand up and tell you where the truth and where salvation is. It's in the church
Amen.
Of Christ and no other.
Amen.
And we'll be glad, Brother Robbins will also
Amen.
Come into this. We'll be glad to talk to anybody, to debate anybody on the scriptures.
Amen.
We're not going to get no books of philosophy. We're not going to get no writings. You know, we got a lot of folks, brethren, they believe in reading all these different writings. They want to read
Amen.
T.D. Jakes' book. They want to read Billy Graham's book. They want to read John Osteen's book. They want to read all these different books by all these different religious teachers and who teach different philosophies about different things, but they're not willing to read the Bible. We're willing to stand up and debate the Word of God with any preacher, any priest, anybody.
Yes.
We don't call men reverend in the Lord's church.
Amen.
The word reverend was translated as reverend only one time in all of the Holy Scripture.
Yes.
And that's in the Old Testament. And it was given, it was a reference to authority and power and Almighty God, not
Amen.
Man.
Amen.
See, God has sent redemption to his people.
Yes.
God has commanded his covenant. No man can redeem or save you or I from anything.
Amen.
Surely, we can't save each other from hell. We are not
Amen.
The Savior. There is no Savior but Christ.
Yeah.
God sent his Son into the world to die. There is no Savior but God. He is God, our Savior. 1
Amen.
Timothy 3, verse 15 and 16. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. He, Jesus Christ, is God, our Savior.
Amen.
He has commanded his covenant forever. The
Amen.
Word of God shall never pass away. It shall stand forever. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Amen.
That's from old to now. It's always
Amen.
Been that way. So we can't depend on the philosophies of men. We must go with and we must accept, we must obey the word of God. It's written. We don't have to guess about it, brethren. You know, we don't have to have somebody give us an explanation because it's already written. And whatever is written is where salvation comes from.
Amen.
That's the word of truth. The word of God was delivered by the power of the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit. And
Amen.
That was a great company of men who published the word, beginning with Moses and all the way to John the Revelator. There was a great company of authors. They all wrote the truth, the same truth, the same truth that we must preach, teach, and obey today.
Amen.
And we challenge you, ladies and gentlemen in Radio Land, those who are listening on this call, we challenge you to obey and follow the truth.
Amen.
If it's not written, you don't need to believe that. If it's not truth, don't believe it.
Amen.
Brother Parker, I'm gonna turn it over to you, my brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Is Brother Johnson on?
Yeah, I'm
Brother
right
Johnson?
Here. I was listening
yeah,
to
okay.
all
well, you
of
come,
that
you come on,
all
bro.
That comment and all of the truth that Brother William was talking. Radio Land and friends and brothers in Christ.
Yes.
The Bible says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God.
Yes.
Luke chapter 8
Amen.
And verse 11.
Amen.
It says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The
yes.
seed is planted in honest hearts will bring forth fruit.
Yes.
See, a man that has the word of God, you can't trap him or trick him.
Amen.
He
mm-hmm.
has it in his heart, and it's
yes.
sealed up. And God has
yes.
blessed him with the
Amen.
Knowledge to go on with the word and be faithful.
Amen.
You see, a lot of men
Amen.
Do not have the word of God in their heart. Or they
That's
may
it.
Read it.
Amen.
But they don't have it in their minds and in their souls.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to teach the people. So what they do, they just lift scriptures
Amen.
Out of content.
That's it.
God's word is just what it is, brethren.
Amen.
It will convict you of your sins.
Yes.
You got to be very, very
Amen.
Careful how you handle the
yeah.
word of God.
Amen.
If you don't, you're going to be in trouble with God.
Yes, amen.
You see, God is my judge.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
He's my judge, and he's your judge.
Yes. That's right.
And he's your savior, and he's my savior.
Yes.
Amen.
Are you really wanting to go to heaven?
All right. Good
you
question.
See, if you really want to go to heaven, you're going to have to follow God's plan.
Amen.
You see, in Luke, the 11th chapter, and verse 28, he says, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Yes.
He says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Amen.
You have to keep the word of God.
Yes.
You can't play with the word of God, my brethren. If you're
yes.
not going to keep it, you better leave it alone. For it's
Amen.
Right. in serious trouble. You see, everything
mm-hmm.
that we preach
Amen.
Will be brought before the judgment of God.
Yes.
Amen.
God will not let us get away with nothing.
Amen.
We have to preach the word of God. Just
yes.
the way it is, my brethren.
Amen.
You see, God wants us to preach the truth. And
Amen.
Nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Yes.
The Bible says in Mark, the 12th chapter, and verse 29, and
mm.
says, and Jesus answered him, the
Amen.
First of all, the commandment is to Israel. Israel, hear the word of the Lord, and our
yes.
God is one.
Amen.
See, our God is one, brethren.
One
our God. It says God, capital G-O-D.
Yes.
He's one.
One.
And if we don't read it the way the Bible says it, we're going to mess it up. Let's
Amen.
Go by what God says. You see, too many of our brethren and so-called associates out there in the world is taking the word of God and misusing it.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, he said, for so much is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. For I
Amen.
Am not ashamed of the gospel
Amen.
Of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believeth, first to the Jews, also to the Greeks. For the
yes.
end is the righteousness
Amen.
Of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We must preach the gospel.
Not
some gospel, not a gospel, but the gospel.
Yes.
Jesus said in Mark the 16th chapter and verse 15 and 16, he said, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Yes.
He that believeth not shall be damned. God knows that's what it is, brethren. We got to preach the good news. The good news is what? The gospel.
The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. We don't preach nothing else but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made another statement in Matthew 28 and verse 18 through 20. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And teaching them to observe all things. And lo, I am with you even until the end of the world.
Amen.
Jesus wants all men to be saved, Brother Parker.
Amen.
Brother Parker the Fourth. He wants all men to be saved, Brother William. Brother Brown. He ain't willing for none to perish.
Amen. Amen.
2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. But if you choose to go to hell, that's where you're going. Oh,
yes.
That's
yes.
where you're going. If you choose to go there, no
Amen.
Man has to go to hell.
Amen.
But if you choose to go there, Brother Parker, that's where he's going. Because you choose it. God didn't choose hell. God did not make hell for man.
Amen.
He made
Amen.
Hell for the devil and his angels.
Yes.
He made that for them. He didn't
Amen.
Make it for me and you.
No.
But
Amen.
I want you to go there, my brethren. That's
yes.
where we're going. You see,
Amen.
We got to choose where we want to go. My
Amen.
Goal is to go to heaven.
Amen.
I want to speak for James Johnson. Why is your goal set? I think
yes.
about it all the time, Brother William, when I'm by
yes,
myself.
Sir.
And I be thinking about the Lord. Every day that you wake me up, I got to make a choice. Who
Man,
I'm going to
right.
serve? Is I'm going to serve you, or is I'm going to serve the devil? And my
Amen.
Mind be on him. And when I
yes,
when I start praying, Brother William, my first
Amen.
Answer is like Brother Vernon says, good morning, Lord.
Yeah.
And he
morning.
Said, good morning. He started praying.
Yep.
Well,
yes.
I find that idea for me. Good morning,
Amen.
Lord. And then I start my prayer. Because I
Amen.
Feel God will hear my prayers. Because
Amen.
I belong to him.
Yes, sir.
As long as I
Amen.
Keep that in my mind, I know where I'm headed. I'm headed
Amen.
Out,
Amen.
Brother Parker. I don't want to go down, Brother William.
Yes.
Brother Brian,
yes,
I want to go up
Amen.
And see my Savior. I never saw my Savior face to face like the apostles did, but I'm looking
Amen.
Forward to seeing it.
Mm.
I have hope in that, Brother Parker, the third, Brother Parker, the fourth. I have hope in that. If you lose hope in God, you have lost it all, my brethren.
That's
keep
right.
the faith. Keep the hope that is in God. Not in man. See, a lot of men got hope in men. And men are being lost and going to hell.
Amen.
My God is the one can lead me from earth to glory. Huh?
Amen. Yeah.
You see, if you want to go to heaven, you got to follow the book. The
book
is Jesus Christ. There's only one God. There's only one Savior. There's
That's
only
it.
One Master.
Amen.
There ain't no two or three Masters. There's only one. And if you don't follow that Master that's in heaven, you're going to follow the Master down here on earth
Amen.
And go to hell. It's simple
Amen.
And plain. We
yes.
got too many brethren are scared to preach the word hell.
Amen.
I have been told, well, you know what,
yeah.
Brother Johnson? Y'all preach too much hell. We don't preach it enough. See,
Amen.
We got to warn the people, like Brother William said. We got to
yes,
warn
Amen.
Them about hell and warn them about heaven.
Yes, Amen.
You see, the world is dying outside of Christ and going to hell, Brother William, because they won't listen to what Christ has to say.
Amen.
You see, when we listen
Amen.
To Christ, We're going to obey Christ.
Yes,
we don't
amen.
Have to obey the devil, but if we choose to obey him, then we're going to be lost.
Amen.
You see, we got to learn these things, brethren. We got
amen.
To learn what God wants us to do. We can't think we are smart in God. See, in Romans, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 3 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, "For what is sown do not believe.
Yeah,
if unbelief make the faith of God without effect, God forbid, yea, true, every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in the saving and magnified and overcome therein that thou art judged." Brethren, we got to stay with the book. You see, brethren, even in the churches of Christ now, are getting away from the book. They're not preaching the sound doctrine of Christ Jesus. They're trying to please the crowd. We're not in the pleasing the crowd. We're in the pleasing our God. We are to serve our God, regardless of how men feel. I'm not worried about how you feel, Brother Parker. I'm worried about your soul. Are you ready to go to heaven? Well, I'm trying to go. I'm worried about your soul. If you try to go to heaven or you want to go to hell. If you want to go to heaven, we don't go the same way.
Yes.
And Amos, the 3rd chapter, and chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "How can two walk together except they agree?"
Yes.
If we can't agree, then we can't walk together, and we can't go to heaven together. We got to be under the same doctrine and the same teaching of Christ. And
that's right.
In 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And if any man does not bring this doctrine to you, don't even let him in your house. Don't even bid him Godspeed. Send that fellow running.
That has nothing to do with him. Yes, sir.
Send him running, my brethren. If you don't come with the doctrine from the word of God, don't accept him in your house. Don't even bid him Godspeed. You see, we got too many brethren going along with some of this foolishness because of popularity. Popularity ain't going to get you in heaven, my brethren.
Amen.
The truth going to get you in heaven.
Amen.
John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciple, and ye shall know
the
truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Yes.
If you want to go to heaven, you're going to have the word of truth. You can't have philosophy because it'll never get you there.
No.
The Apostle Paul warned us about philosophy of men in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. We can't keep following that foolishness. We got to follow what's written. Thus says the Lord God. If I'm going to follow anybody, I better follow Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ."
Yes,
as I follow Christ, Brother William.
Yes,
if
sir.
I don't follow Christ, then I ain't got no business talking about Christ.
Amen.
A lot of times we want to talk about Jesus on our terms, but we don't want to talk about the truth of Jesus. Talk to me. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, the Apostle Peter said, "Seeing ye have purified your soul by obeying the truth," Brother Parker.
Amen.
He said, obeying the truth.
Amen.
We
have
to obey the truth of God. We have to surrender and give up false religions and give up sin.
Amen.
Ain't no middle ground. It's sin.
Amen.
S-I-N. When Peter preached that gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, he told those people what to do. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You have to get your sin out the way.
Amen.
And God will give you the Holy Spirit when you obey His will.
Mm-hmm.
He will not give it to you before then. If you try to get the Holy Spirit before then, you'll never get it.
Amen.
See, when God gives you the Holy Spirit, He seals you with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. And also Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. God knew the sealing of the Holy Spirit, not man. Man can't give you nothing when it comes down to your soul salvation. You better make up your mind where you want to go. If you want to go to heaven, give up sin.
Amen.
That's what God say. Quit trying to follow after the tradition and doctrine and commandments of men.
Amen.
Paul said, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word, be in season, out of season, rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, turn it unto fable. We got smart on both sides of the ledger are trying to preach false doctrine and trying to bring it into the Lord's church. Sin is in the church. Sin is in the camp. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7 through 14, the Lord told Joshua, he said, get up from there. Get up off that ground. The sin of you is in the camp. It's
get
in
it
the
out.
Church today. We got brethren need to sit down somewhere and get out the pulpit and let the real brethren get up there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm telling you what the Bible telling us. The Apostle Paul said in Acts the 20th chapter and beginning at verse 28 through 31, he said, take heed therefore, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He said, for after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in, sparing not the flock, even amongst your own self.
We're
already in the church, teaching false doctrine. They teach the wrong thing.
Yes.
You see what we're talking about? The Bible is right.
Brother Johnson, Brother Brown has something to say. Brother Brown?
Yes, sir. Brother Johnson, I don't mean to cut you off. We've got a question coming in.
All right.
Bring it on.
Amen.
Hold on 1 second. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead with your question.
In the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, 11:11-13. It's referring to John the Baptist as Elias. Does Elias have a different meaning in another language? Because I didn't know he was called Elias, and where did it come from? And is it mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, Elias?
Yes, ma'am.
Elias refers to by name to the prophet Elijah, and John the Baptist is described as coming in the spirit of Elijah. Elijah was a man of truth. He was a faithful and dedicated servant of God. He had God's favor, and John the Baptizer was coming in the spirit, that is, in the spirit of truth, to declare unto the people of Israel the coming salvation of Jesus Christ. That was his job. He was a forerunner for Jesus Christ and the gospel. And his job was to prepare the people in their heart. and their heart of faith, he will prepare them to receive the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so in the spirit of Elijah, he came. He was serious about what he was doing.
Amen.
John didn't come to play about it. John didn't come to make a name for himself. He came as a humble, yet a fired-up servant of the Lord. And so he came in the spirit of Elijah. Elijah brought truth to the people. Elijah was a savior for the people. Elijah allowed and brought the blessing of God on the people.
Amen.
That's what John's
role was. He was a New Testament type of Elijah.
Right.
That's right.
And thank you for answering. Do you have another question, sister?
Yeah, I want to make it more clear. Is Elijah another name for prophet in another language or in Greek? Or?
Yeah. And the word that is translated in the King James Version is Elias, but it's referring to Elijah. And you see that all across the Bible. You know, when you're looking at the King James Old English style of language, sometimes you see words that are interpreted. For example, Jeremiah is usually interpreted Jeremiah, you know, something like that, the King James Old English language. But yes, Elias is actually referring to Elijah. It's just that when it's brought over into the King James, translated from Hebrew into the Greek, into the English, the King James Old English, that's what is translated as Elias. If you go to another modern day version, then you won't see Elias. Usually, you see the actual name that it's meant to be. So it's just translated like that in the King James Version. That's a very good question, though. Thank you for it.
Mm-hmm. Any more now? Any more?
Yeah, I do have another one. I mean,
yes, ma'am.
It does in the new version. It does say Elijah.
Yes, ma'am.
I have another one. Mm-hmm. I had never heard of it before till recently. It's called the Apocrypha. Can you tell me what that is about and who removed it from the Bible?
So the Apocrypha, that refers to the collection of writings that did not make the canon. So when you think of the canon is the 66 books that we have in our Bible today. There's a big process. The process of canonization included books that it met very specific criteria. These criteria included criteria such as has written by an apostle or someone associated closely with an apostle. You know, all the books of the canon say the exact same thing. It was written, the Bible itself was written over many different continents, over 400 years, but it all say the same thing. But there are other books such as Enoch, 1st, 2nd Maccabees, all of these other non-canonical writings referred to as the Apocrypha. So it's difficult to answer the question who removed it, and the reason why it's difficult to answer that question is because it was never included from the beginning. So it's not that it was removed; it was really never added. You know, so therefore. But now let's say, for example, if you look at, say, the Catholic Bible actually have the Apocrypha because they added it. But then there's a whole lot of the 66 books we have in our Bible today, there's a whole lot of books that was written after them. Like even in the New Testament times, we have like some of the Pauline writings and, you know, Hebrews and, you know, stuff like that. But there are all, for example, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are other versions of the gospel that was written, such as the gospel according to Mary Magdalene, the gospel according to Saint, you know, Peter. All of these things. But the reason why they were not canonized was because they didn't believe that they were inspired of the Holy Spirit. So they're
inspiration.
Absolutely, they were not inspired. So therefore, the Apocrypha were non-inspired. Works, non-canonical works did not make the canon, so no one removed it because it was never added. The Catholic Bible has it because they added it, and that's a very good question.
Oh, okay, I understand. Are those books about? What are they about? Are they about Jesus and his teachings and youth or?
Yeah, they are, you know, to a certain extent. You know, there is one book about Jesus' youth. I think it's, I want to say it's the Gospel of Peter or the Gospel of Thomas or something like that. One of those books are about Jesus' youth. You have the Gospel of Clark and Mary Magdalene and Peter, you know, which are a lot have to do with Gnosticism. Gnosticism was a very important doctrine and a wrong doctrine. It was a doctrine of error. But there's a whole lot of writings that were written in and around the first century that were produced by people who were actually Gnostics. So a lot of the letters that we have in our New Testament, such as First John and the Gospel according to John, actually went against some of those doctrines, Gnosticism. Like, let's say, for example, there's one that non-canonical letter that states how that Peter went head on with a Gnostic. I forget the Gnostic name, but eventually Peter told the Gnostic to do something, and he went and did it, and he eventually died, or it's something funny like that. You know, same thing with the Gospel according to Mary Magdalene. You know, it's a whole lot of, you know, it's very different. But the fact is, the reason why it wasn't included is because the tough process, stringent process of canonization, it did not reveal that these works were actually inspired of the Holy Spirit. But let me say this too, because a lot of people believe today that that men, a committee of men, is what gave us the canon. Let me say this: whenever the committee met and decided what books should go into canon, they only used the books that the church was already using. It's not that they said, well, we're going to kick that book out, we're going to accept this book. You know, this entire thing, I believe, was guided by God's Holy Spirit, because the early church had already been using letters, the Pauline letters, and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. So therefore, when they met to discuss the process of canonization, all they did was basically seal what the church had already been doing the entire time. You know, and why did they do that? Why was it so important to establish a canon? Because the first canon that we have was developed by a Gnostic, not Justin Marston, the Moratorian canon. We have the I can't think of the name of the canon, but anyway, it's a Gnostic guy who came up with the canon. And his canon, he only had like the Gospel of Luke and Pauline writings. He kicked most things out of the Bible. You know, James and all these other works, he kicked out of the Bible, and he said, I'm only going to use Luke, and I'm only going to use some of Pauline writings, but anything that referred to the Old Testament, I'm not going to use. I'm going to kick out of my canon. So therefore, the reason why they met and decided that we need to put together our own canon is actually in response to the Gnostic canon. So therefore, you have to see that this entire process was guided by God. Every time an evil force would try and stop the Christians from doing right, God always take that evil source and use it to help Christians succeed and progress even further. And you see that all across the New Testament. For example, you heard Brother Williams earlier mention Nicene. Constantine, the Emperor Constantine, called together what we know today as the Nicene Council. They met in the city Nicene of Bithynia. They met in 325 AD. And when they met, they discussed a few issues. The top issue that they discussed was the Arian controversy. You had Athanasius and you had Arian, who were battling against each other about what to do about the substance of Jesus. Did he exist with God from the beginning, or was he a creation by God? So they settled it and said that God was Jesus was in fact God. By the way, one of the second issues why they met at Nicene is to discuss, guess what, drum roll, Easter.
That's right.
Met to discuss Easter and what to do with Easter. Should they use the Jewish reckoning of the calendar, or should they use the pagan? Easter actually began, and by the way, you mentioned about Elias earlier, how that the King James translated Elias. Well, guess what? In Acts 12:4, the King James Version translates the word as Easter.
That's the word.
Absolutely. It should be translated as Passover. The King James Committee should not have interpreted that word as Easter. It should have been translated as Passover like it is everywhere else in the Bible.
Yeah.
So
right.
Therefore, Easter was actually a pagan holiday, and the pagan holiday actually celebrated the goddess of spring, which represented fertility, hence the bunny and the egg.
Amen.
So
Amen.
What the earth, what they did, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, combined the pagan holiday with the Christian celebration of the Passover. That's why people celebrate that today. But in the body of Christ, the true Church of Christ, we don't celebrate Easter per se. We don't celebrate Easter in the fact that it refers to the pagan religion. As a matter of fact, you hear many people today stop calling it Easter. Now they refer to it as Resurrection Sunday. But guess what? In the body of Christ, we celebrate that through communion every Lord's Day.
Amen.
Every Lord's Day. Absolutely.
Amen. Every
wonderful,
Sunday.
Wonderful, wonderful question, sister. Anything else?
Yes.
Thank
Lord.
You, Brother Parker the Four.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
We can talk wonderful. About it some more, but I think it's enough said.
Yes,
ma'am. And ma'am, are you still there?
I have one more question, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
All right. Go ahead.
I belong to a community, a small group of community organization, and we always open up our, before our meeting, we always open up our meeting with a prayer. And it was suggested to me that since we live in a community that has many different nationalities and religions, it's very diverse, we have Buddhists, we have Muslims, we have Catholics,
Hindu.
We have, I believe so, because Indians live in here too. And I was told, or it was suggested to me that we should, that they, before we open the meetings, if any of them are there, they would be welcome to say a prayer before our meetings. And I told them that when they start beginning to open up their prayer in a different religion, I will cease coming to the meetings. Was I wrong?
No.
Ma'am, you know why? Because they are praying to whatever God they serve. And most of those people from the East, a lot of them are praying to Allah and Buddha and some of everything else in India. I've forgotten what they call them. I've traveled around the world. I'm known in 52 foreign countries, and it's almost pathetic because you don't know what they're saying. And they're not saying what they ought to say according to the one true Bible, because the Buddhists have their Bible, but the writer of it came after Christ died. And all of it came after Christ died. So you can go, and you can, you know what you do? I've not been to any meeting like that. But I pray silently. I don't even pay any attention to the prayer that they're praying. And I ask God to condemn that prayer in my silence. See, they can talk to God no way. If you're a member of Christ, you can talk to him in any situation. You don't have to say it verbally. But you want to know what's going on at those meetings and everything, you can go late if you want to, ma'am. If it upsets you so bad, you can go out there and get it started. Without prayer. But if you're in a situation like that, you can pray silently for yourself.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm glad, I like what you said, sister. You said that you won't go. To ask your question, you are not wrong from refraining in something that might be offensive to you. You know, so to answer your question, I don't believe you're wrong. And also, if you decided to go ahead and to go, I don't think that would be wrong either. You know, the reason why I say that is because, you know, they say, rather you there or not, guess what? They're going to pray to their God. They're going to, rather you there or not, they're still going to be praying to whatever God they serve. But guess what? Guess what? If you went, they could hear you pray to your God too. You know what I mean? So I think that's another way to consider it as well. But absolutely, you're not wrong for refusing to go or to participate in anything that might be offensive to you.
But you know,
well, the other thing
that,
too, is you have to acknowledge the true and the living God. You see, what the devil wants us to do is to acknowledge everything that is opposed to God. Because that way we are not serving or pleasing to God. That's not faith. And whatever is not of faith is sin. You don't want to be a participant in that foolishness, because to you, it's sin. It's not about personal opinion. It's about the word of God, our devotion to truth and righteousness. When you know the truth, you have to reject error. As we point out, a lot of this religion that you are listening and religion that people are doing, a lot of that is not Christ. It came after Christ. It is not Christ. Even the Muslims will tell you that their founder, the great Elijah Muhammad or whoever who received this revelation, he is a direct descendant of the Arab nation, which was a direct descendant of Abraham. But that is not the true seed through which God would bring salvation to all mankind. And even when they start these religions, they start these religions based on some ethnicity, some human ethnicity. Christ is spirit. God is spirit. He is concerned about the spiritual being of man. And God is not setting a religion that would be a perfect or complete religious system based on ethnicity. That's over with. The only ethnic nation that God had was the Jewish nation, and he had them to bring, to make it possible for him by his own will to bring to all mankind the salvation, the perfect salvation in the spirit. Even the salvation, the grace, the blood of Christ will reaches back. It reaches back to those who died faithful to the patriarchal and the law of Moses that God gave to man in their time. They lived faithful to God in their time. The blood of Christ reaches back to cleanse them from their sin, because they had no remission of sin until Christ died. And the blood reaches forward to all men today. But the devil is in the religion business, and these religious systems are set up by his influence, by his deceivable teaching and doctrines, and men are gullible to fall for that. And now that they have proliferated, we think that because there is a great majority or a significant number who follow them, it legitimizes them. It may legitimize them with the society of man, but it does not make it legitimate with God.
Amen. Ma'am, talk to me. What else is on your heart do you want to know?
Well, I personally feel if they do this at the meetings, and if they pray over our meetings in a different faith, I feel that those meetings will be tainted, will be stained. And I just don't think that's a good, you know, it's a bad thing. I just feel they'll be stained.
Again, what you're dealing with now is you're dealing with your faith, what you believe about God and the truth. Now, if you violate your own consciousness with regard to faith in God that you know, we're not talking about lies you believe, we're talking about what you know is true, then you must refrain yourself from that involvement. See, because when you start participating in it, and going along with it and accepting it, then you are offending your own spiritual conscience. That's why the Spirit of God is in us to help to direct us to do what God's will is. If you're going to violate what the Spirit is directing you to do, then you're committing sin in yourself.
Well,
and so you got to decide, am I going to be a part of this or not?
Okay, here's the point here. Now, she said they open with the prayer and they pray different prayers. Okay, what is the real meaning of the meeting? What are they meeting for? To try to help the community? Or what are they trying to do?
It's a neighborhood community. We help each other.
There you go. Now, the key is this. If you just stand still, you just pray your prayer when they ask for prayer. Or you can go to the meeting after they open up, because it's important things about what the community can do, you know. You just live in a community that's diversified. Now, we have that almost every day in our lives. We go around people, I was around a man today, man. He was a total alien, and he wanted to talk to me. And I didn't want to talk to him, but I didn't want to be wrong either. I corrected him. He didn't appreciate it, but I corrected him. It was love. So you can go and learn about your community, but don't indulge in the prayer. You follow me? And in the prayer. You can indulge in what's going on in your community, the conversation of that. As I preached around the world, in three countries I was in overseas, the CIA had to come and throw a rug or something around me and throw me in the back of a truck, van. I don't know where I went to go sleep. I don't know how I got back to the United States three times overseas because some of the things I said when I was a speaker, I was a keynote speaker, and about 40,000 or 30,000 or 50,000 people were listening. Now, what you got to understand, you got to take the truth anywhere and everywhere, but you do not grasp it. You can pray your own prayer.
I don't want to be around it. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to be near it. No. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to listen to it. I don't want to pay any. I don't want any part of it. None.
Brother Parker, what she's saying is, I just don't want to have any association with that at all. Well, she's not wrong for refusing to not go to the meeting or be a part of the meeting. You know, she's going to decide, okay, look, I'm conscientious about my community, and I want to see good things happen in my community. But right now, I see a conflict. I have a conflict of faith when I see what's being done. And then she's got to accept and agree with whatever they decide to agree with as a committee and a community and in this discussion. And she said, I don't want to agree with it. The best thing for her to do is not to be involved in it. You see, because for her, she has to obey. She has to deal with the aspect of we have to avoid the appearance of evil. She's saying this appears to be evil. So for her personally, she just don't want it. Well, then she shouldn't be going to those meetings because they're going to do that anyway. And so if that offends you so much, don't go.
Ma'am, that's what I'm trying to get down to the point. Are they saying anything or doing anything that's against, that you don't like in the community or nothing like that, or they're doing a lot of talking craziness? What is it about? Ma'am?
Oh, what is it about? Oh, we're just talking about, you know, what can we do to help paint someone's house or plant some trees and flowers or have a street party or you know, This community thing is getting to know your neighbors, saying hello, helping someone when they're sick or when they've lost a loved one. You know, just I consider godly things.
Yeah.
But
I just can't,
in my own conscience,
I love
the organization.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll have to deal with it some other way. But I can't go to those meetings if they start doing that. But I will participate, like if they need some help with anything, if they send someone with some flowers,
I think what Brother Williams answered it, you know, if it violates your conscience because it's not of faith, then I think that even if it's right to someone else, then that could become wrong to you. So therefore, I think as a minister of God, it would be wrong of us to tell you that it's okay for you to go. But your question to us was, would you be wrong for choosing to not go? My answer to that, I think all of our responses to that have to be no. You're not wrong for choosing not to go.
You know what?
And it doesn't mean that you can't participate in activities that help your fellow man, your neighbors, and so forth. We as Christians are authorized in Scripture to do good unto all men, and especially those who are of the household of faith, which is the Church of Christ, the place where spiritual salvation is. As spiritual brethren in Christ, we have a responsibility to be doing good. You're talking about doing it. There's nothing wrong with participating. You just don't need to go to the meeting. They can tell you what's going on without you having to go to the meeting.
All right, ma'am.
You know, don't go to the meeting. But if they start asking people for volunteers to help paint somebody's house, go help them paint the house. You just don't need to be going to the meeting because you are offended. Your faith in God is offended. Don't do that to yourself.
Amen, ma'am. We're giving you some good advice, and you were saying some wonderful things. Now, do you understand, or how are you going to react now? Talk to us. We love you on this program.
Well, if they if they open, if someone comes with a different faith to the mediums, and if they open up in their language and their prayer, I'm leaving, and I won't
okay.
be back.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's your choice.
Yeah, I don't
and
believe you're
my
wrong
choice.
For that.
And I feel I'm so comfortable with it.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. And that's your choice. I don't think you're wrong for that. You know, for the benefit of other people that's listening, let me say this as well. You know, it's that, see, I think the sister is right by going with her conscience. You know, I think she wants to know she's wrong for not going. If her conscience would bother her, then I think it would actually be right for her not to go. You know, but for the benefit
yes.
of others who
Amen.
Might still want to go, for the benefit of other Christians who might still want to go, I think for them, that could be okay for them to go because, like I mentioned earlier, rather they go or not, the people still going to be saying their prayer. So, therefore, if that man going to be praying his prayer, well, guess what? He's going to hear me pray my prayer through Jesus Christ. You know, and also I think of it like this as well. Kids in school or wherever you are, you know, if I stand up in a Christian assembly and all the Christians bow their heads and pray, but you have two people, you have one Muslim and then one atheist, and they choose not to pray, you know, on the other hand, while I might not participate in their I shouldn't expect them per se to participate. I should expect them to respect me now, you know, just like I'm going to respect them, but I don't know if I could just force them to participate in what, you know, if I'm offended for them and they're offended for me, I think that they have the right not to participate just as I have the right not to participate, but they're going to have to respect me. I'm going to have to respect them. At the end of the day, I'm going to serve my God. This is a free country. I'm going to serve my God, you know, and that's what it's all about. But certainly if a person's conscience offends them or their conscience shows them that they are lead them the other way, then I do not believe that that person is wrong for not going. I think that's a great question, though.
Amen.
You know what's going to happen? I'm going to be labeled as intolerable and what's the word? Inflexible.
Yeah.
And not tolerant of someone else's religion. And I don't feel I have to be tolerant of that religion, but they're going to probably label me like that. Not accepting.
Where is this happening? Can we get there? One of us or something get over there to the meeting?
Oh, no, I'm in a different state.
Okay.
Yeah.
But here's the point here. Because, you know, I've gone to some meetings like that, and I told them, raised my hand and told them, say, I'd like to pray sometime. I'm a minister, you know. I'd like to open it up, you know. So, but you couldn't do that like that. But whatever, if it's that disturbing, you need to work with them, but you don't have to be there in that tolerance unless you're praying your own prayer while they're saying what they're saying. Okay?
Mm-hmm. You know, I went to I'm sorry. Can I say something else?
You can, ma'am. You can go ahead on. Go ahead on, please, please.
I'm going to pass you all's time. On the phone. I can always call next week and tell you what happened. Which do you prefer? I'll tell you now because you're already in the phone. Okay.
Yeah.
I went to a meeting this morning and the mayor was there. And he is a United Methodist preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he said his points that he wanted to make during the meeting. And he said, it's Easter weekend, and let's all be tolerable of all religions, tolerable and acceptable for all religions. And I looked at him like he was crazy. I would never do something like that. And, you know, I don't think there was an even appropriate place to say something like that. What do you think?
Well, talking for us,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, what
do
you think?
I don't have to be tolerant of someone's religion, do I?
Well, you know,
that's a political position. That's not about faith in Christ. That's not about the spirit. That's about politics. Okay? In politics, we have freedom of religion. You can worship the devil according to politics because you got freedom of religion. But do we actually believe in the devil and worship in the devil? Most people, even those who are in these various religions, don't believe in that. But if we're going to be political about it, that's what we're talking about. He's encouraging you to be to exercise your political right or political thought or position or responsibility. But religion is not based on man's polity. Religion and faith in God is based on God's word and his instruction. Brethren, we can't talk about what we think you ought to do or she ought to do. The word of God teaches us that we have to think soberly. We have to think righteously. We have to think in the way that God thinks. We have to think according to faith. Faith comes by the word of God. The word of God is the word of God. There's not five, six different words of God. It's just the word of God. It's one. And it's for all nations, for all people, for all generations, not for certain people. It's not Hindu for the Indians. It's not Buddhism for the Chinese. It's, you know, it's not Islam for the Arabs. It is Christ for all. And that's what we got to stay with.
Yeah.
And here's the
point.
It's up to see if you're a Christian and you don't believe in. See, you have to see in this word. You got to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. He didn't avoid anything. As a matter of fact, God, Jesus never avoided anything. You know, he healed a woman one time. He was walking through a crowd of people and everything. And he even felt that. He said, "Who touched my garment?" And that woman was made whole. She was healed. So you'd be surprised what you can do by especially if it's saying concerning your community or the mayor may be speaking about something. You just listen, and you have a godly, you're very strong biblically. I can see that in your conversation. You're biblically strong, but see, if you can't wrap yourself up in a closet somewhere, Jesus said, "I came that you might have life." And having more abundantly, you know wrong from right. You don't have to embrace it, but you can live a good life in the front of those that are living like aliens and heathens.
That's right.
Are you there, man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And the question is, do you have to tolerate? You know, in America, we throw this word around, tolerate a lot. You know, everyone got their own answers for it, but one thing that I do know is that I am required to love everybody. You know, and that doesn't matter the color of their skin, their religion, their sexual preference, their race, whatever it is. I got to love. I might not like what people do, just like they might not like what I do. You know, but I'm required to love, and I believe that's what Jesus did. I know that's what Jesus did. Jesus loved everybody. You know, now, if I'm busy walking around condemning, everybody around me, then how am I supposed to show the love to Christ, that Christ has to other people if I'm too busy judging and condemning? But I think instead of judging and condemning, I leave that to God. But let me do the loving, and Jesus was accepting of all, and because he loved them, now did he like what everyone did? No, of course he didn't, but he still, he put it this way, God loves sinners. Yeah, I don't care what nobody says, God loves sinners. He don't love the sin, but he loves the sinner, and that's why he makes salvation accessible to everybody. So I think as Christians, sometimes we allow, like Brother William mentioned, sometimes we allow our politics to interfere with our religion. See, and ultimately, my role and my obligation, I'm required to love everybody, and I refrain from condemning and from judging. I leave that to God. I don't have heaven or hell to put nobody, and I leave that to God. But I'll love people the way that Christ expects me to love them. And I think that every Christian should, think this way. Here's the reason why I say that is because, see, we live in America, a country where there is religious tolerance, and I think we should be thankful for the protections that we have here, because if you go to another country to gather to do what we do on Sunday mornings, they get killed for it. They get arrested for gathering in the name of Jesus. Why? Because there is no religious tolerance. There is no equality or anything like that there. Now, if I'm condemning people in this country, but then I leave America and travel to their country, and I'm treated the very same way, you know, I think this concept is actually much more global than what we're making it, you know. But you know, so I think ultimately, if we could stick with the love of Christ, then we won't get it wrong that way.
Mm-hmm. Ma'am, there?
Okay,
well,
here's something.
He was saying, Brother Parker, before we were speaking about, and I think that we need to kind of get it kind of straight. You know, what do you think about the lesbians and gays? I mean, he said love everybody. What do you think is that scripture talking about?
Well, I think that taking that lifestyle is very condemning. And it's against God's word. But I like them. In fact, I've had a gay friend that was still in the closet, not in the closet, whatever. And I really like them. I really did. But that doesn't mean I have to accept their lifestyle. And if I don't want to say anything or do anything to offend them, so I have to be more reserved when I'm around them. But I don't want to say anything that's, you know, offensively, because if I offend them, they will not want to listen to me in the future.
Right. Well, you said, you know, the Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate." He's somebody who worships everything, anything else.
Interference. I can't hear if something's happening in the back. Sounds like a television or maybe something with the phone line. I don't know. I don't have my TV on.
No, he got a phone.
It's over now.
It's gonna hang up. I have to go.
Ma'am, call back.
Okay.
Please. Okay.
I'll try and call back Tuesday.
Hold on.
Okay.
Where's Brother Norman?
Ma'am?
Yes.
Hey, ma'am?
Yes.
Let me ask you to do something. Would you read Romans chapter 14 in your New Testament Bible and make special note of Paul writing in conclusion in verse 22 and 23? And understand that we have to respond, that we have to be responsible to God for ourselves. Each one of us has to have a responsibility to answer God. And so what we want to do is we want to do what is righteous and approved of God. And if it's not approved of God, then we can't associate with it and call ourselves righteous.
That's a good point. That's a great point. And I think one of the things that where the country ends up going astray is that when we force people to do stuff, you know, we have people, right?
Yes.
We're supposed to have a voice here, but now when the same people who are saying that Christians should accept, when they're forcing Christians to accept, you know, see, that's where we get it wrong, you know, and we should have that kind of concept of politics or religion. You know, and you know, when we force stuff, when we take away the rights of the people and force it, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, and that's what we go wrong with, you know. But of course, this program is discussed the Bible over politics.
Amen.
Call
back in. Have some of your friends to call back in, ma'am, too. Okay.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, brother.
We have a time for a problem.
Can we do that?
I think we still have.
I hear something else going on. I don't know what you all are hearing.
I'm hearing something else. You hear something else?
I hear something. It's drowning you guys out. I can barely hear you.
Okay, it's off now. Over here with me.
Is it off
on you?
It's off with me now.
We'll have a closing prayer.
You want to give us a dismissal prayer? Dismiss our fellowship?
Yes, sir. Give us a dismissal prayer.
Righteous God and Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity of fellowshipping in the truth. Thank you
Amen.
For these men of God and these who are faithful and who are committed to speaking your word
Amen.
And your truth to our neighbor. We got to speak truth to our neighbor. Thank you, God, for giving us the truth. We thank you
yes.
for the person, the woman who called with her concerns,
mm-hmm.
concerns
yes.
about her faith.
Yes.
She wants to believe and follow you in every way, dear God. And we ask Amen. That you bless her heart, strengthen her mind, let the word of God speak to her. Let us as ministers stick with the word and give her
Amen.
The word of truth. And she can let her help her, God, to decide and to know whether she's obeying the truth or not.
Amen.
God, help us to be able to help those who are in need, and especially in this forum, to be able to
Amen.
Help men to understand what thy will is.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and
we pray
amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you, brother. We'll see y'all Tuesday. Same
yes,
time, same
yes,
channel.
Sir.
God bless.
Amen. We've been
All
blessed
right.
tonight. Yes, sir. Bless
God
tonight.
Willing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right. Good night.